Yo, what is up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Burnt Denim, the podcast where we spread knowledge, instill passion, and generate conversation.
Those three things.
Once again, I'm your co-host, Nick.
And I'm your other co-host, Max. And we're here to bring you another episode. This dude, Nick, if you don't know, if you've been following our Behind Burnt Denim, he is in the process of transitioning into his first house.
Got a lot going on.
Got a lot going on, remodels, painting, moving, everything. But he is still here to bring y'all some content. So just some appreciation for Nick. I know we're not like a live stream, but some claps for Nick in the chat.
Claps.
But anyway, Nick, tell them what we have today.
So today we are going to be going over one of the most influential people in modern design history, maybe fashion ever.
Possibly.
It's up for debate. You guys can comment and let us know what you guys think. But today there's no arguing that this man has had a huge impact on where fashion is headed nowadays in the interest of the everyday consumer.
Yeah.
So today we are going to be going over the none other than the man himself, Virgil Abloh. So starting off with the man, Virgil Abloh, he was born in September 30th, 1980.
That's soon.
Yeah, he's actually pretty young.
Happy early birthday.
Yeah. Yeah, that isn't that
long. Couple
old.
Weeks.
Yeah, it's coming up. He was born September 30th in Rockford, Illinois, to Ghanaian immigrant parents. So his mother was a seamstress and his dad was a manager at a paint company. So with that, he learned from his mom how to sew and work cloth. Growing up, he had a huge range of influences comprising of skate, graffiti, art, soccer, hip hop, and most importantly, Michael Jordan.
MJ,
growing up only about like an hour and a half away from Chicago.
Right.
So he was like huge into Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
When he was a kid, him and his friends would even draw concepts of different Nike shoes and send them to Nike, hoping they would get recognized and maybe even some sort
Little
of shoe deal.
Did they know? They didn't know. Nike didn't
foreshadowing
know.
Of what may happen.
Right.
But during that time, he heavily got into DJing at different house parties that his friends had in high school, and would later prove that this is a vital skill that would eventually like circle its way around and be useful in the future.
Yeah.
Something he still loves to do now.
Mm.
So Virgil ended up attending the University of Wisconsin-Madison and studied civil engineering, since his father has always wanted a engineering son. So he decided to get in that. He was never really rebellious like Rick Owens, how we talked about in one of our last couple episodes. He wanted to honor his parents, sort of show appreciation because all the things that he did for them. So he was always kind of like supportive of that, took the straight and narrow road.
Yeah. Before we move on, all I have to say real quick, you can't see this, but I just saw a balloon moving over here and I almost had a heart attack because I thought someone was in here. But anyway, yes, I was really freaked out. But yes, as Nick was saying, college was a really pivotal time for Abloh, studying engineering. His roommate in college, actually, they're still friends today. It's one of his best friends. He went on to become a restaurateur, but when they were in college, he would bartend and he would have Virgil come out and DJ these different events. He'd convince these bar owners to allow him to bartend and then to let Virgil DJ. And they threw these parties on weeknights.
Now that's McDonald's.
Yes, but they would throw these parties and they quickly became very successful. And Abloh and his roommate would be making a really good amount of money off of tips from bartending. And that's how he would pay Virgil as well. And these seemingly dead nights in these bars turn into these crazy parties. And they would use that money and they would go into Chicago and just blow it all on clothes.
Yeah.
So like they were in college, they weren't smart investing or whatever, but they were just blowing it all on clothes. And this really, like I said, was a pivotal time. And it was also at this time that they both started subscribing to fashion magazines and getting more into fashion, more into clothing. They detail that in a podcast that I heard on Virgil Abloh. And so Virgil graduated with his undergraduate degree, as we said, in civil engineering in 2002. And he apparently missed his graduation to take a meeting with Kanye West's manager, John Monopoly. So thinking of timeline, this is before Kanye's really big, early 2000s. But being from Chicago, basically, he knew who Kanye was. And this was a time where he got in contact with his manager. And as you will find out, they eventually would go on to work together not too long after this. But at the same time, also, upon his graduation, with his interest in clothing, and he had always been into designs and art, he had designed a t-shirt design, and he brought the design to a print shop, like a screen printing shop, and he had formatted the file to print it so perfectly that all the screen shop had to do was hit print, because usually there's resizing that the screen printing shop will have to do, but he had formatted the file so perfectly that the place actually offered him a job right on the spot. When they saw the file that he gave him, they offered him a job. And his first t-shirt design said Fort Home on it with an X on the back, which we don't really know what that means. Fort Home. I don't know. Fort Home. And Apple even says today that it's kind of reminiscent, like now, of an Off-White shirt because it had the X on the back. And a few weeks later, Don Crawley, who was another one of Kanye's friends, actually visited this print shop and asked the manager. He was looking for different designers that he could use to help him design things. And the manager recommended Virgil after seeing his amazing knowledge of design. And Don C met with him, and he actually asked Virgil to make some designs for him. And the next day, because Virgil knew how important this was, he had designed like 10 plus designs for Don C. And he worked extremely hard, and he gave him these designs. And Don C was so impressed that he introduced Virgil to Kanye West. And then Kanye hired Virgil at this point to be his creative assistant, since he didn't want to put his creative content in the designs of the record labels. So this is still before he had released his first studio album, but he knew he was going to get into music, Kanye.
Yeah.
And so he found this young talent in Virgil, in his design, in his work ethic, and just his eye for things, that he hired him as his creative assistant so he could, you know, give him all the creative.
And it seemed like Virgil stepped up perfectly to every single moment that that he had, every opportunity he would take. So moving on, like during this time, Virgil was pursuing his master's in architecture at the Illinois Institute of Technology. And this ended up furthering his interest in design and the intersection between fashion and architecture. The student center on campus actually was being finished by a well-known architect named Rem Koolhaas.
Yeah,
I want to say
Rem Koolhaas.
Another
cool
man,
name.
Another guy, Michael Rock, also was giving lectures on campus. And Rem made up about 2/3 of Prada's think tank. This ended up opening Virgil's creative ideas on how architecture can be related to fashion. They can be connected to each other. One of Virgil's professors at the university, Thomas Kearns, actually took Virgil under his wing and taught him how to learn like Adobe Suite, and showed him and recommended that he use it not only for architecture itself, but also designing things such as t-shirts as well. So upon graduation, Virgil continued to work with Kanye in 2009 and even attended Paris Fashion Week with Kanye West, Don C, many more. Yeah, so the picture will be up right there. Super famous picture. It's taken outside of the CDG fashion show, the Comme des Garçons. And Virgil actually later said, like, we were a generation that was interested in fashion and we weren't supposed to be there. We saw this as a chance to participate and make current culture. In a lot of ways, it felt like we were bringing more excitement to the industry than the industry was itself. Virgil said that. So also in 2009, Virgil and Kanye interned together for Fendi, which is pretty interesting.
Imagine
to think
that.
About, like, Virgil and Kanye, who they are now, just
interning,
like
just
working 9 to 5, like getting cups of coffee, making copies.
That's funny. All like these Kanye's just sitting at the coffee machine, and he's like, "Get the paparazzi out my face." But that's funny.
But that's some of the things that they had to do to get their foot into the door. Also gain those skills. They weren't paid much either, but the CEO for Louis Vuitton, who they interned for, said that he was impressed by the vibe that they brought into the studio, and they disrupted the whole atmosphere in a positive way, in the best way possible. So this was the same time Kanye was working on the My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy album and ended up going to Hawaii not long after.
Yeah. So this was a huge time for Virgil, getting out of college, taking all these influences from architecture and design and these people who would mentor him. And I think people mentored him because if you ask anybody who's worked with him, he's one of the most positive people. Like, people would saying, "Oh, we have all these deadlines, we have all these things," and he would just say, "Isn't it amazing? Teamwork can make the dream work." Like, he said that, and he's just so positive. And so, with this internship at Fendi, who's owned by Louis Vuitton, and so they were working under those people. He gained a lot of skills, and it was about time in 2009 for him to start his own thing, because he had just been giving designs to Kanye, working for him, and it was time for him to venture out. And so, As he continued to rise in his notoriety due to his connections with Kanye and within the world of fashion, him and Don C, they launched a retail store in Chicago called RSVP Gallery.
Yeah.
It's still there today, and it's online as well. You can check it out. It's a pretty cool website. But this was a really an outlet for them to mix streetwear, with luxury. And it also gave Virgil an outlet to practice his architecture, to practice his interior design, and create spaces that would tell a story themselves. So this RSVP Gallery was launched in 2009. And then also in 2010, Virgil accepted the role as the creative director of Donda. Now, we mentioned this in our Kanye West episode, which if you haven't watched or listened to yet, please check it out. It's a, one of our favorite ones. But Donda was a Kanye's creative agency, basically consisting of a ton of different outlets, a ton of different facets, design, art, fashion, music, filmmaking, and so many more things, architecture even. And he hired Virgil to kind of oversee Donda, which was his mother, which was Kanye's mother's name. Virgil would help design album covers such as the Watch the Throne tour and Yeezus, all these different things. He would help design stages setups. He'd help design merch. He'd help with even with the music itself, listening to it, and and many more. And Don C, one of the guys who was involved with it, actually said, like, Virgil was constantly designing for Kanye all the time. They would go travel somewhere for an event, and Virgil would just stay in the hotel room and design all day, which is crazy. You're getting to go see these places.
That man got some ideas.
He had ideas that he needed to get out, and to the point where people would even joke that Donda as a whole was just Virgil's laptop. Like, they would say that Donda was Virgil's laptop because all of these ideas constantly. So say what you will about Virgil Abloh, if you know about him, accusations of copying, all the all these other things. The man works hard and he has ideas that he puts into paper.
Right.
And like, even in this book, what I'll talk about later, he like puts all of his designs in here. It's really cool to see that evolution. He also helped around this time with Pastel, which was that company that Kanye started. He helped design for that as well. But we're not going to get too much into that.
Go watch the Kanye episode.
Kanye episode. In 2011, 1 year later, Virgil and Riccardo Tisci, who was designer for Givenchy at the time, but a well-known designer within women's and menswear, they were commissioned by Kanye to design the album cover and packaging for Jay-Z and Kanye West, Watch the Throne. We'll put a picture up. It's a pretty recognizable album cover. It's very simple, but you could see where the influence of architecture comes from in it and design. And and at the time, they actually were Grammy nominated for Best Album Packaging and Design.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
So Virgil, I know, I didn't know either. It's probably, you know, not shown on TV, but Virgil was nominated for a Grammy. Sounds like they didn't win it, but he was nominated, him and Riccardo Tisci. And now, perhaps the greatest legacy of Donda, the most important thing that came out of Donda, was when a group of guys who would later go on to create their own brands came together to create a DJ and a party night collective called Bin Trill in 2012. And so this group consisted of Virgil Abloh, Justin Saunders, who had formed Jound. I don't know how to sound it. Is it just Jound? I say Jound because there's a ton of J's. Matthew Williams, who started Alix. That's how you say it. I thought it was Alex, but it's Alix. And a soccer player named Florencia Galarza and a Nike employee at the time named Heron Preston, who would go on to make his own brand. So this group of today extremely influential fashion designers, they formed this collective because while they were working for Kanye in Paris at the time, they said they would finish working for the day and they would go to the nightclubs and they wouldn't hear what they wanted to hear. They weren't hearing Waka Flocka or these things that they were listening to. And so they created this where they would literally just plug in their computers, their phones, and throw these parties, create this whole vibe. Virgil Abloh described it as a sort of group chat that turned into something for the public arena, which is kind of cool. They played music that they weren't hearing in Paris, threw parties for people like ASAP Rocky. And this is when Virgil Abloh really became a public figure, because before he was hiding behind the scenes of Kanye designing for him, this is when he went public with
himself
in the public eye. And Bin Trill would also go on to release clothing and create an app and do all these different things. And they would also sign a deal with PacSun to where Bin Trill merch would be selling in PacSun. And this was actually dissed by ASAP Rocky in a song for not staying true to the roots and selling. And they he saw it as selling it out to PacSun. And he wanted recognition for that. And it seems like him, he wasn't so mad at Virgil. It might have been the other guys in the group, because him and Virgil maintain a good relationship.
Still friends,
But yeah, Bin Trill, look it up if you haven't. We'll put up pictures, but a very important thing to come out of Donda, just a group of creatives really that would go on to start their own things.
Yeah. I'm sure you guys have seen like random Ben Trill t-shirts that people would wear. You can find them now. I think they're not
even that hype, to be honest.
But it's just like a popular streetwear brand. But perhaps one of the most important for Virgil in his fashion career was in 2012 when he launched his own brand, Pyrex Vision. So what Virgil would do, he would take Ralph Lauren rugby flannels for $40 and would screen print the word Pyrex and the number 23 on them and sell them for hundreds of dollars.
This man played us.
The meaning behind Pyrex 23, actually a lot deeper than you would think, was the idea that the only way to get out of the hood was to cook crack. Mm. Hence Pyrex, like that's where you would cook crack in the kitchen, kitchenware,
Tupperware,
Tupperware, all that, or play basketball. Mm. So 23 for Michael Jordan. He would take champion shorts and did a similar thing. champion hoodies, printed pictures of Renaissance art on them. And Virgil originally created his clothing to create a 10-minute video to represent a sport without a team. And he didn't intend for it to be a long-term brand or even to become a fashion designer himself, but he needed clothing to portray his idea in the video. So he ended up closing this company down a year later, but you can still find some of these pieces online or different resale sites.
One thing to say real quick, it was really interesting. I was just going off on a tangent, but flipping through the book and like one of the quotes that he literally put on like a rug for his museum was a quote by him. He says, "It's highly possible Pyrex simply bought a bunch of rugby flannels, slapped Pyrex 23 on the back, and resold them for an astonishing markup of about 700%.
Yeah.
So like he knows what he's doing. It's funny. But
anyway. Yeah. So in 2013, Virgil launched Off-White, the brand that mostly everyone knows Virgil Abloh from, as a mix of streetwear, luxury, art, music, and described the brand as the gray area between black and white as the color Off-White. So a lot of people also say that this is another like crack reference as they called like called the Off-White. But anyways, Virgil described it as the first luxury brand built completely off of social media. Mm. Virgil even details designing many of his designs while on his phone, walking down the street or on an airplane through text.
Wish I could do that.
The massive rise of the brand was due to support from influencers like friends like Kanye, Ian Connor, and so many more people. The launch and rise of Off-White marked a shift in the fashion industry where streetwear was elevated to the highest position in fashion rather than brands that were considered like luxury and high fashion. So everything was kind of being redefined at that moment.
Yeah.
His hallmarks were the cross diagonals typically seen at construction sites and quotes, which were sort of to form like a humorous poke at sarcasm and taking things too seriously.
Yeah.
He began with screen prints and Renaissance pictures similar to Pyrex Vision. 2014, Abloh launched a women's collection and began to show both his men and women's collections at Paris Fashion Week. 2015, he was the only American finalist for the LVMH Design Prize, yet he still didn't win.
Come on.
Yep.
They do. Why they do my man like that? How are they going to hire him late? Come on.
Oh my gosh. I want to take that job.
I want to check what happened. Who won that? Anyway.
Who voted for that?
Who got votes? But yeah, so Off-White, huge, especially internationally. Mm-hmm. You know, like in Asia, in China, Japan, like it blew up. Like it is, it's huge. And it still is today.
Yeah.
And it's cool that he still maintains that. But yeah, it truly became one of the most, it actually became one of the most searched and best-selling brands in the world extremely fast.
Yeah.
Like it's still consistently, when you look at most searched brands on Google, it's one of the most searched brands. And it heavily influenced pop culture from being referenced in music videos, like kind of like we talked about Rick Owens was mentioned.
Yeah.
Imagine this on an even higher level because you hear this even more, like Lil Uzi Vert's album cover is Off-White, like logos and mentioned in songs. And it's a similar thing. Nick and I want to do a whole episode on this later, but hip hop culture really pushed forward Off-White. And because of Kanye and because of people like that pushing it who were in that industry.
Yeah.
But they just love the aesthetic behind it. Being able to wear streetwear and seeing it as a luxury rather than seeing it as something that just trashy skaters or something like that wore. And there's so many more signifiers that I kind of just want to talk about. Just a few, like hang tags.
Yeah.
You know, on his Nike shoes, which I'll talk about, but on his clothes, he'd have hang tags. like visible stitching, that deconstructed look, these big graphics, just all these different things, like extra long t-shirts, flannels with screen printing on them, all these things that weren't really done on a wide scale or for luxury, he did. And I think, it, like you said, with the quotes, it was kind of a poke on taking things too seriously. Like when you put things in quotes, you automatically assume someone is you know, joking with it. And so he kind of wanted to do that. And then around this time too, in 2015, 2014, he began to open Off-White stores throughout the world. And what he wanted to do was each store was to be different. Each store was to have a different theme with them. And he hired architects. He was an architect himself, of course, to design atmospheres. Like one of them, I don't know where it is, but it's like a whole garden. Like there's plants inside and it goes to the outside. And he was similar to James Jebbia when we talked about Supreme, in where he wanted his stores to be more of a hangout, to where clothes weren't the main focus, to where the building, the architecture was the main focus, and the clothes were kind of a side piece. And if you also, if you haven't watched Supreme episode, go watch that. But yeah, he was really about it being a hangout spot. And Off-White would go on to have a multitude of collaborations with companies like Rimowa, who does luggage, Levi's, Moncler, Chrome Hearts. But perhaps the most well-known and the most hyped and important of his collaborations was with Nike when he did the 10, in quotes. In 2016, he was asked by Nike to redesign 10 of Nike's best-selling sneakers. Eight pairs of Nikes, traditional Nikes, a pair of Converse, and a pair of Jordans. Nick is wearing the Air Forces right now, which I'm jealous of. But yes, let's show them. That's a beautiful shoe right there. But he was originally hesitant to take the offer because it could destroy his career, he thought.
Yeah.
Because it's Nike. You don't want to mess with these designs. And so he was kind of scared of not wanting to change it so much to where people would freak out. But then he accepted after saying he would not change more than 3% of the shoe, which is really interesting. He gave like a lecture to Harvard and to Columbia, and I was listening to it, and he was saying he just wanted to make little tweaks. He didn't want, he wasn't going to change the shape. He wasn't going to change what the shoe looked like.
Reinvent the wheel.
Yeah. He didn't want to reinvent the wheel. So he changed the color blocking, deconstructed them, printed different words on them, such as Off-White, Beaverton, Oregon, all these things, added stitching, hang tags, but he never touched the shape. The shape is still the same. There's just little, like he said, he wanted to change no more than 3% of it. These would go on to release in 2017, quickly becoming some of the most coveted and sought after shoes. And it launched Virgil to an either to an even higher position in the fashion world and to the forefront of design. Nike would, he would continue to design for Nike and even create original garments for Serena Williams. My favorite Off-White Nike, I know this is might not be a popular opinion, but this is Serena Williams Off-White Nike Air Max 97. The pink to purple look is just so clean to
the
me.
The gray,
it's really cool.
The gradient.
Yeah, it's really cool. And he would even take less popular shoes and put Off-White twists on them, which is what he's doing now. So now, after he saw the success of doing the 10, which were those 10 shoes that he slightly changed, he saw, okay, this is working. So now he's been able to play with more shape, been able to play with less popular shoes and change them even more, which is cool too.
Yeah, so probably one of the greatest moments in his career of hitting a peak, I would say, came in March of 2018 when Virgil was named Kim Jones' replacement as a menswear designer for Louis Vuitton, which is huge. He was the first African-American designer for Louis Vuitton. His first runway show was in 2018 in Paris. It was outdoors and featured artists such as Kid Cudi, Playboi Carti, modeling his clothing. Kanye was sitting front row at the show and had like an iconic hug at the end of the show, which sort of like represented their journey and their struggle from the beginning of their own fashion and music careers to making it someone's like making it where they are now. So it was like super like symbolic, super famous. I'm sure you guys can find like videos of that on YouTube.
Put a picture up.
But Virgil heavily credits Kanye for his success today. Since Virgil has taken over, Louis Vuitton's clothing has sold at a much higher rate. It's been super successful. Virgil has also since then like entered into the art world, collaborating with artists such as Takashi Murakami for different like museum collections and other things like that.
Yeah, it's joining Louis Vuitton was, I think, a surprise to a lot of people that they would hire someone from Off-White. You know, like, which was this more streetwear brand, but it really marked an important shift of luxury seeing streetwear as fashion. and not seeing it just as, you know, because I feel like it was looked down on kind of before, like, oh, that's streetwear, we're luxury. But he was able to really prove himself. And yeah, seeing that hug at that show was seriously so powerful, especially if you follow Kanye, you follow Virgil.
Yeah.
Like to see these two Chicago boys just making it. Like Kanye has made it with his music, he's made it, and Virgil made it to the pinnacle of luxury in Paris. You know, like, I don't know. It was a very, very powerful moment. But yeah, as Nick said, he also started to get into museum exhibitions with Takashi Murakami. And he also had his own museum
in Chicago
at the Chicago Museum of Modern Art. Museum of Contemporary Art. I'm thinking New York. But I actually visited it last year. And it was really cool. It was in 2019. And this book he actually created from it. But it was basically a whole exhibition of his ideas from undergraduate to graduate school to some of his early designs with Pyrex, Off-White. And there was also one of the things I remember the most, just because at the time I was so like drooling over them, were this table of Nikes. Like you've seen the picture, put a picture up, but a table of all these unreleased Nikes that he had been working on. And there were like some yellow Jordan ones. There was all these crazy shoes. And it was just so cool to be there. I was so blessed to be able to be in Chicago at the time and really gain a deeper appreciation for Virgil Abloh. And I don't know. It was really cool too on how he literally gave the employees these blue pair of Air Force Ones, which hypebeasts seek after the off-white MCA Air Force Ones. And literally, like, I saw this old dude just straight up wearing them there. And I was like, this man doesn't know what he's wearing. But it was really cool.
Or he doesn't care.
He doesn't care. Yeah, true.
Or he does care.
Yeah, I can't read him. I don't know. He was just standing there like this, just looking at the stuff. But yeah, it's very cool to see that he can come from just immigrant parents, starting, you know, just going to college, trying to please his parents, working hard, DJing, to the pinnacle of luxury and having his own museum after him in his town of Chicago, right?
Yeah.
Which is really cool. I think, yeah, what were you saying?
Yeah, well, I'll say this about Virgil too. A lot of people see his designs and think they're very like simplistic and not very thoughtful. I'd say they're the opposite. Like he's thought about it so much and he's able to portray it in such like a simplistic way that almost seems ironic to a lot of people. And people will roast him for it. Like he's not aware of what he's doing.
Right.
For example, people will make fun of the quotations, but I think it's supposed to be like a greater like social like commentary that he's making.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all my like theory or whatever, but like putting holes in shoes and different things
shoelaces
like that.
On the shoelaces, the word shoelaces on shoelaces.
I think it's a greater like social statement that he's making, not just a, you know, cheap effort. I think it's very thought through with hang tags, all these different things that people look at and kind of easily dismiss, I think are very thought out and are very intentional. So where he's at now, he's also made music and involved in like different album production and designs, music editing. 2020, he launched the Off-White Music Video Production Group and is still doing stuff. He's still currently the head of menswear at Louis Vuitton. Still working with Off-White, like running that, still working closely with Kanye West, still
Nike.
Still releasing Nikes.
Yeah.
So he's still at the center of conversation for fashion, streetwear, music, art. One of the biggest public figures in culture, I'd say, to be honest. So it's very interesting to see where it's going to develop into the future of where he's headed, what ideas he still has yet to put out, and people that he's also like supporting and working with.
Exactly. That was huge too, is he's pouring into these people. Yeah. And I think if you get one takeaway from watching this whole episode about who Virgil Abloh was, is that yes, he started all these brands, he's done all this, but Virgil Abloh sought to bring together things that seemingly were separate and create something new.
Yeah.
Off-white. That gray area. He's not defined as luxury or as streetwear. He's that kind of middle, unsure area.
Yeah.
And he's combined these wide range of influences, even rock. He was influenced by rock too. Mm-hmm. And all these things and combining them into high quality and new designs that you really haven't seen before and that he's poking fun at. So it's just, he's kind of a living commentary on pushing the edge of what fashion is supposed to be. So I think that's what you can take away from Virgil.
Yeah.
But
definitely follow him and keep up with his career as it still progresses, because this man is pretty interesting.
And he's very positive, which is cool. Like a very positive guy.
Yeah, yeah. So moving forward to the next segment, how we like to sort of close off these episodes is by doing a segment we like to call Wear, Tear, or Share. Wear, meaning that we like it and we'd wear it. Share it, or tear it first, that's order. Wear, tear, meaning we don't like it, it's trash, we would never wear it. And share it, meaning that it's interesting, we kind of like it, but it doesn't really fit our personal style, so we'll share it. So we like to go off the episode itself and sort of show different outfits of the people that we're going over.
Yeah.
So today, obviously, Virgil Abloh, whether it's
Virge.
Him or design, people that are influenced by his designs or wearing his clothes, different things like that.
Yeah.
So Max, do you have your Virgil Abloh influenced outfits?
I do. Hey, if he grew out hair, Virgil Abloh.
Virgil
That'd
Abloh.
Be fire. Gerbil Abloh. Anyway, all right. Here's my first one, Nick.
Okay.
So what he's wearing here is he's wearing a shirt with a picture of the Unabomber. This sort of harness, chest harness kind of thing. It's Louis Vuitton with some Louis Vuitton glasses, some ripped jeans, and then the off-white Nike VaporMax in all black. So what do you think of this outfit, Nick?
I think it's very simple. I think it is very much something that he would wear.
Right.
I want to say wear.
Yeah.
For it, generally, I would wear it, but if it wasn't the Unabomber.
True.
I feel like it's very controversial and not something that I want to...
I understand.
Not an argument I want to have with a stranger.
Okay.
So I'd say share.
I love the honesty. I'm gonna go wear because I like stirring things up, and I don't know. I wear controversial things. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, you're right. In church, we talked about not stirring things up. But no, I'd wear it because I also don't think a lot of people know that's the Unabomber. First of all, maybe an older generation. But I'd wear it just because I like the jeans. Rest nice. I like the shoes. I like the shirt. I want to try one of those harness things. Looks cool. No, like the shirt. The shirt
what?
Thing. You know what I mean?
Yes,
and then and then the glass. So I would try it. So that's a wear for me. The second one, Nick. Wear, tear, or share.
He is
wearing a gray hoodie, a orange, looks like chrome hearts. Hat, off-white glasses. He's layering some shirts. He's wearing some crazy Futura off-white jeans. And then he's wearing the off-white Jordan 4 creams.
I'd say wear. I like it a lot. It's not too like crazy. I mean, the pants are kind of crazy, but it's like it blends with the whole outfit as a whole.
It does.
Like I feel like it's very like it's not simple, but it's simple.
You know what I mean?
For like the colors for the most part.
Yeah,
it all like flows and it's like natural. It's like a like it's gonna sound so cheesy, but it's like a off white when it comes to like some not too far out to where like you wouldn't wear it, but also like. Pushing the boundaries still.
Nick is the next off-white. He is.
Virgil, let me intern under you.
Let me intern. Let me make some photocopies. I am also going to go wear. I really like the pants because they're loud, but like Nick said, they fit well. And I like how they hang on his, over his shoes, like on one side. I don't know. They're fresh. I like that kind of hat. I don't know. My man Virgil's killing it. I will say I like him more with a beard when he has all that because it's clean shaven. He looks... little
what about hair
you know I want to see this man with some locks but no I'm gonna go wear yes
okay so my first outfit
okay we chose the same one it's because it's a good outfit I saw it and I was like we have to do this one
anyways you guys know the answer for that the next one I'm gonna zoom in on Virgil himself specifically for this one super famous picture we talked about it earlier outside with CDG fashion show. What do you think?
All right, so the red glasses, the yellow shoes. I'm actually gonna go tear. I'm sorry, Verge. I understand at the time it was really cool pushing the boundary, but when we do wear tear or share in my mind, I'm thinking today and would I wear it? And I would not, and I wouldn't want anyone else to wear that today. Fashion has changed, so I understand at the time this was cool, but I'm gonna go tear.
I wish I understood. I'm trying to like put together what he's wearing, but I don't even know. This picture is just so funny.
It is pretty funny.
But I have to go tear. There's no way that I would
Where his hairline is very far back.
It is. Is he wearing some slacks?
I don't know, but this
some
man.
Some red glasses. Everyone else in the picture, too, is kind of just funny. So he's not even the worst out of them.
Yeah, he's not. Kind of tripping them.
Anyways, I'd say tear for that. Yeah.
Sweet. Well, that was Wear, Tear, Share. And that was Virgil Abloh from... I don't know. We're going to come up with a cool title to put in the YouTube. But that was Virgil Abloh. We hope you enjoyed it. Nick, tell them about our Instagram.
Yeah. So if you have watched this whole video, thank you guys so much. We appreciate your support. If you want to get connected with us more, follow our Instagram at Burnt Denim. We always say Burnt Denim is not meant to be just us two, but a community where we have, you know, those constructive conversations about fashion and streetwear and culture. So we want you to be engaged in that as well. So if you are even interested in getting connected or learning more about us, staying up to date with different episodes that we're doing, our conversations that we're having, follow us at Burnt Denim. And one thing that would extremely help us is if you liked and commented and subscribed.
Please.
Because that helps the algorithm get the conversation.
Please
to
do
people
it and share it with
that
your friends.
Would be interested that are not exposed to it at all.
Exactly.
So please do that.
Repost our graphics to your story. Repost anything you can. Like, we just want to build this fam. Listen to us on Spotify, Apple Music, and yeah.
Yeah. So other than that, we love you guys so much. Thank you so much for listening to this whole episode.
Thank you.
We appreciate you. Until next time.
Peace. Go be the next Virgil Abloh.